Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, and welcome to Hot D Takes. This podcast series covers HBO's House of the Dragon episode by episode with myself, an avid reader of all things ASWAP, and my friend Manny, a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon fan who is unsullied, aka has never read the books, being your stalwart hosts. First things first, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, TikTok, Twitter, at Geek Saga.
And I'm Manny, the aforementioned Unsullied co-host, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Manissimo Art. Thanks for joining us for this episode, which will cover House of the Dragon Season 2, Episode 5, titled Regent.
As a reminder, expect spoilers from the episode we're covering, but less obvious, there will be very minimal book spoilers from Fire and Blood, which is, of course, the source material for House of the Dragon. Also, we have something new for y'all this week. While we are still going to kick off with our episode summary, before we get into our hot takes, we'll be going over some predictions that Manny made prior to watching the episode. Additional discussion of these predictions will possibly slash probably be woven into our hot takes and or our episode specific favorites roundup at the conclusion of the discussion. But as this is a brand new thing for us, please bear with us as we feel it out.
We also have a rating system that we will, like true Targaryens, fill in when and where we please. And that system includes rating things on a scale of 1 to 10 Targ eyebrows.
All right, just one last piece of business before we dig in. Don't forget that Geek Saga Entertainment has a Patreon. We have 10 tiers ranging from $1 a month to $40 a month, and it offers tons of ways to support us and receive some great perks in return, including early access to these Hot D Takes podcast episodes. At the $3 a month level, you get early access to these as well as any other podcast-only episodes at least 24 hours before they go public. But also, I do upload our video recordings unedited for our patrons at the $5 a month and up levels. So definitely check that out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
You're really going to want those unedited ones. That's where the magic happens.
Really? You have no idea.
And now it's time for the long and the short of it, our weekly episode summary.
We begin, not surprisingly, on a sad note. Corlys has obviously heard the news about his beloved wife, our princess of side eyes and sick burns. He trudges up to sit on the Giftmark throne, his loneliness truly palpable in the large, dim, empty room. I suppose we can be thankful that things aren't going all that hot for Team Green either. Sir Cole of House Slaw is parading Maelie's head through the streets of King's Landing and even has someone crowing about their so-called victory, all while Aegon, who is apparently being transported in the Westerosi version of a dog crate, is suffering at the brink of death. And honestly, I know they're trying to hide how badly he's injured, but like, 1 out of 10 for this transport. This is worse than the mobile igloo, okay?
Terrible, terrible.
It's worse than the shigloo, which only showed up like once. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it was the version of the mobile igloo on a ship in season 1.
On a ship.
Yeah. Anyway, for real though, when they do finally get Aegon, aka Baby Gon, back into his chamber and lay him out, he is in the roughest of rough shape, basically cooked into his armor. Let's just say the closed captioning was going real hard on words like squelching as the maesters began working to try to save his life. In the meantime, though, there is, of course, the problem of who's going to rule in his stead. Allison offers herself as tribute, but this is a time of war, y'all. So the dudes in the room brush her off in favor of, well, we'd say take a guess, but why bother? Because it's Aemond, of course. Seriously, everyone had to have seen that coming, right? Even Allison? Unfortunately, Allison's not the only one being talked down to by council members because Sir Alfred of Team Black is hardcore about how Rhaenyra is part of the gentler sex who doesn't have experience in battle. Granted, neither does Sir Alfred himself, and thankfully Rhaenyra claps back at him about that, especially as Rhaenys is no longer there to hand out sick burns on her behalf. And anyway, even after Rhaenyra is able to get Sir Alfred off her back by sending him to Harrenhal to have a little chat with Daemon, who she hasn't heard from because he's been busy fucking things up big time. He harbored some appreciation for how the Brackens were willing to burn rather than succumb to him, but then he gave some of his now becoming infamous clear instructions to the Blackwoods, who ran around Bracken lands committing straight up war crimes. flying Rhaenyra's banner all the while. Obviously, this pissed off a bunch of other Riverlanders who stormed into Harrenhal to inform Daemon that they won't raise their banners for a tyrant.
And they aren't the only ones whose support Rhaenyra is in danger of losing. Because Lady Jane Arryn is up in the Eyrie whining about how she was supposed to have a dragon sent to guard her home in exchange for her troops. Rhaena, who is there along with Rhaenyra's younger children and a couple of dragon hatchlings, reminds Lady Arryn that she never specified what size dragon, but of course this doesn't exactly appease their ally. Lastly, but certainly not least of those questioning their loyalty to our queen is Corlys. Rhaenyra sent Baela to pass along her request that he join her council as Hand, but he is too pissed off and sad about the loss of his wife to want anything to do with any of that. Baela does her best, and her best really is good, y'all, to convince her grandfather to accept the honor. And he does at least seem to be considering it after their conversation. But in the end, it seems that Jace is the only good thing Rhaenyra for sure has going for her at this point. Because while he took it upon himself to visit the Freys without her permission, it sounds like they'll take yucky old Harrenhal in exchange for letting the Stark forces cross their stupid bridge. Not to mention that he's the one who suggests they go looking throughout ye old family trees for new dragon riders. So really, everything is coming up Jace right now, and we're here for it. There are certainly some other loose threads out there, including the vast number of small folk in King's Landing who are pissed that Aemond ordered them locked in when there's next to no food available for them, at least not in the city itself. And then there's Alinda, sneaking into King's Landing when most people want out, because she's been sent on some sort of sneaky errand for Rhaenyra by way of Missaria. Needless to say, we can't wait to see more of what's behind that door, but while we're waiting for the additional intel, we have a lot to discuss.
Very true, including our new section, Maester Manny's Prophecies. Okay, so your first one was Aemond. Aemond is going to take baby Gon. And again, this is Baby-Gone apostrophe S. Gonna make that a thing. I gotta find a way to like put this in writing out there. but anyway, sorry. Aemond is going to take baby Gon's throne in his absence. And you were correct about this.
I was right. But that one, that was like me doing the, like, back in the day when you have like the psychics on like the talk shows, you know, and the most obvious things, that was mine right there. That was like my sleight of hand. Like, oh, I have a prediction. Ready, everybody? Water is wet, you know? So that one was kind of a,
Throwaway.
That was an easy one.
You did say something additional that didn't come true in this episode. You should say this second part. Mm-hmm. This sort of like sub bullet point now, because with this being part of our episodes going forward, I think it's a good idea to, if you have something that didn't come true in this episode, but you still think it's a possibility, like put it out there.
Yeah.
So you can brag about it if you're right later, you know?
If I'm right later. So my thing with this is that I think the biggest like point of contention with Aemond taking the throne temporarily or whatever, interning, you know, is that he's going to be disobedient in the sense that he's going to be on the battlefield, exactly where you don't want your king. Apparently, in Westeros, it's not a cool thing to do, even though technically I feel like that's what you should do as a king, but he's going to go out there and he is going to just, but come on, Vhagar is their strongest dragon.
Yeah.
Who's going to ride that? Who's going to ride Vhagar? Because it ain't going to be anybody else.
I think the question is less like, should he do it and or will he do it? And more, is it going to be a point of contention? Is it going to be a disobedience thing where they're all like, no, you should stay here? Because the other thing is Vhagar really should be the one guarding King's Landing too, especially now that Sunfire is gone.
Yep.
God knows what is going to happen with Aegon considering the state of things with him. So your other prediction was that Daemon is going to attack something. And yes. This didn't quite come true, but you could definitely like spin it a bit and say that he was going to attack the Brackens, but then he like found a little bit of respect for the way they reacted to his ultimatum. And then also he still did order the Black or kind of, maybe it was an order, but strongly hint that the Blackwoods act in his stead. And they did some attacking, so it wasn't a prediction that totally came true, but...
Yeah, this is like it depends how you spin it. This is a spinner, so it depends how you spin it.
It's a fidget spinner.
a fidget spinner. You know, he can, because this is okay. So let's just say that this is like this is a political spin, right? To where it's like, but I didn't attack those people. I didn't commit those war crimes. No, guy, but you told them to go out and do something.
Yeah, we'll get into that for sure.
Crimes, you know?
Oh, and he wasn't even wearing his cloak. He was wearing full-ass armor when he... No crimes, cloak, Damon. Crimes armor, Damon, over here.
Exactly. It's, come on, dude. Put on the cloak. If you're going to do crime, you gotta wear the cloak.
But anyway, so you did have a thought about what could happen in the future, though.
Yeah, so my thought is like, this is kind of like the best time for something after something like this happens, you know, because everybody's kind of still reeling. Baby Gone just got back freshly, like, rotisseried and stuff right now. So it's like the best time. Like, if I was Damon, I would just make kind of like a quick, like, guerrilla run at King's Landing, even to just knock down a wall, just to remind them that, hey, we're still fucking here. You may have taken out a dragon boat. Apparently we still got like a six pack left or whatever. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to bust a wall up just as a reminder. Like, that's it. Just a non-subtle reminder. I was hoping he would do that, but then I forgot he was playing Luigi's Mansion. So
yeah, I do like the six pack of dragons reference.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wish I had more time and or better photo editing skills. Cause I would love to do like a six pack of Team Black dragons. Off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly how many dragons they have. So there is that too. Moondancer, Vermithor, and Silverwing, who don't have riders, which we'll also get into in a bit. Jace's dragon's name is Vermax.
Vermax.
And Rhaenyra's is Cyrax. And then Caraxes. So Cyrax, Caraxes, Vermax, Moondancer is four with riders. Yeah, so you actually might be exactly right. Vermithor and Silverwing. I think in the book there are technically more than that, but right now I think that those are the six known, the six pack of known Team Black Dragons. Okay, well, let's get into our hot takes.
Hot take number one, ladies and gentlemen. In which we play the world's tiniest violin for coleslaw.
Yeah, nothing's going right for him at the moment.
Sad.
It seems
so sad.
I know. Poor baby.
Very sad. I know.
I do have a couple questions here. Does he know that he fucked up with the Aemond and Aegon situation? I think so. I feel like that's got to be part of why he's acting like a big old petulant baby.
He looked kind of broody. I think he was broody.
I wouldn't even call it broody. He's like, I'm going to sharpen my sword and like refuse to look at you, Allison, and like not tell anybody the truth. And oh my God, I don't know.
Insufferable. You know, this guy's right.
And at the end of last week's episode, he definitely, that look he had when he found Aemond kind of standing over the nearly dead Aegon and dying Sunfire. But here's the thing, with fucking coleslaw. In that moment, for sure, he knew shit was fucked up. But is he going to take any part in the blame? Is he actually blaming himself? Or I don't know. Because
he's just going to do something terrible to make himself feel better is what he'll do.
He'll find some way to blame it on Rhaenyra.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for real. Also, dumbass do be parading Maelys's head through the streets thinking that was going to prove they were victorious. But I love how the small folk are all like, the fuck y'all, bad omens all around.
Bad omen, dude.
I know he's Dornish. He's not a Targaryen. He didn't grow up in King's Landing, like seeing dragons all the time. But yo, everybody knew that was a bad idea. Even Gawain Hightower was like, ooh.
You don't do that. And let's face it, they're just like dragons. That's like me getting into like a war with my brother and then parading his dead body through like the streets of my town. People be like, oh, but that was your brother, dude. Why are you doing that shit? Not good.
He also doesn't seem all that into the idea of Aemond being regent. Mm-hmm. But to me, it almost seemed like he was maybe too downtrodden, or something, to fight against it. Did you feel that too? Because it was like he was agreeing with Tywin Lannister and Laerys Littlefooter that Aemond was the one to put in that position, but it was kind of like, everybody else is saying it. And then on top of it all, when he's talking to Allison, what little he says, I think it was Allison, right? Where he says like, well, we've given the war to the dragons now. Dude, you made that decision. You were the one that plotted with Aemond to have Vhagar there. everything about you is that, like, you take no responsibility for your actions. You will find somebody else to blame for everything that goes wrong, no matter what hand you had in it. And I'm not saying, obviously, the thing with Vhagar and Aemon and Aegon and Sunfire was not entirely his fault, right? But it was a lot of his fault. At least, I would say at least 30%. I'll give him 30%. 30% was Alicent and 30% was Aemon. And 10% was just baby gone being baby gone. Does Coleslaw actually feel bad about it?
No. Yes. No. No.
I think he feels bad about it to the extent of, like, I've seen atrocities. I've seen what dragons can do now. And I'm fucking scared a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
But I don't think he feels as bad as he should.
No, I think he feels bad, but he does not feel responsible is probably what it is. Like, he's that kind of guy. Oh my gosh, I feel bad. I just saw all this war that I started, you know? Yeah, he's that kind of guy. Every time we talk about him now, it's like, I just want to, like, I want to be a Westeros character so I can just punch him in the fucking face. I'll get executed after, that's fine. But just to know that I just clocked this fucking smug ass look on his face.
This leads directly into hot take number two. Nobody liked you when you're Alicent. I really want to rewrite that entire Blink 182 song all about. Yeah. Alicent. Even Alicent doesn't like Alicent right now, rightfully so. She did try, as I already kind of mentioned about Coleslaw having that conversation with her, or, well, her having the conversation with him is probably the better way to describe it. She tries to get him to tell her what happened, and he won't even look at her, let alone tell her the truth. And I think that's less about him hating her or disliking her than disliking the situation as a whole. But she later says, like, so what are you, is this just like a night, you're just a nighttime visitor now and you're not going to actually listen to anything I say anymore? Do you even respect me? I'm greatly paraphrasing, but she's seeing Coleslaw not like her. And then in the council meeting, of course, you know, she's like, I'll be the person, I'll be the regent. And all the dudes are like, you were fine when we were at peace and Viserys was still, like, alive, if not well. You know, he couldn't make it to all these meetings, but he was still, like, a freaking sentient human being. And Aegon is in God knows what condition he's in. We know how bad it is in general, but they don't even know if he's going to live, essentially. So she's hating herself for that. And nobody else knows the conversation she had with him. So nobody else knows that they should also be like, what the fuck, Alicent, about her being kind of one of the catalysts, if not the main catalyst for him going out and doing the thing. I will say that in the council meeting, when they all, none of them will really look her in the eye. And also, in terms of nobody liking Alicent right now, Littlefooter, here's, like, Littlefooter's revenge for not getting his foot porn anytime recently. Yeah. For sure. He's not wrong in what he's saying. He does have a point about how it will look if they raise Alicent as a queen, quote unquote, too. Mm-hmm. It's a really shitty point, but he does have a point. If their whole point is Aegon is a boy, so he's the rightful heir, then maybe don't raise Alicent, who's not even a Targaryen, as regent, while Aegon is whatever he is. So yeah, Littlefooter taking a little bit of his revenge. He doesn't like Alicent either. That was very clear, like, every scene he's been in with her this season so far. But anyway, after they officially decide to make Aemon the regent, man, that pan in, super slow pan in to her face. And it's, like, closer and closer. Obviously, they're having their whole conversations about what's going on and what they're going to do next and what needs to be done. They're discussing all these things. And she's hearing it as if she's, like, underwater or something.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting choice. And I think I've already talked about how I do not really love when shows do that, focusing in on, like, somebody's face, like they're trying to be, like, artsy or dramatic. But I thought this was, it was fucking perfect. The look on her face, it was changing just slightly with the things they were saying. It was like the acting on her part, the facial expressions was amazing. The choice to have it just, the camera just creep in on her as slowly as it did was amazing. The sound being sort of, like, muffled, like I said, like she's underwater almost. That was an awesome moment. 10 out of 10 Targ eyebrows, honestly.
It was good. You're definitely right. That's definitely a 10 out of 10. Now, I want us all to take a journey back to the beginning, before that train left the station. And you know what train I'm talking about. Good old propaganda train. Do you remember when we did a little, like, teaser with the teaser trailer? You remember what Allison said about Rhaenyra? Oh, well, they're not going to accept a queen.
Yeah.
Well, here you go, bitch. Here you fucking go, right? Oh, no one wants to put you as fucking regent on there? Wow, I wonder why. I'm sorry. This was her. Look, do I think that Allison wanting to be on there is pure? Actually, I kind of do. She knows what Aemond is capable of at this point. And I think it's scaring her to where she's like, I don't want everything to just burn. Clearly she doesn't. And I think she's really worried about Aemond being there. So she did that. But at this point, dude, look, just like she told Rhaenyra when Rhaenyra came all dressed up like the nun and stuff like that, and they were talking, that it's too late at this point. You know, it's the point of no return, dude. You're not going to sit on that throne and you're not going to make peace or anything like that. That ship has sailed at this point. And I think she's starting to see it. But the guy's not wanting her to, like, be, you know, on there because, you know, peacetime, whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, she's still on the council. She's just not the regent. Or at least I think she's still on the council. Like, they didn't kick her out of the room. So does she still have the talking ball?
I predict that she won't have
the attendance ball. I'm not really sure what the ball situation is. Because, like,
I think it's the attendance ball.
I think it's an attendance ball, yeah.
Just in case you don't see the person in the chair, there's the ball. Say, hey, I'm here. I mean, I guess maybe if they had people representing them too. Like if there was like multiple council members and they're like, oh, I'm speaking on behalf of Joe Schmo because he couldn't. Yeah, I got his ball because he's sick.
Speaking of one of the things we just mentioned.
Hot take number three. Aemond takes the throne figuratively, right? Right?
Yeah, for now it is figuratively. But Aegon ain't looking too hot. Or actually, he's looking a little too hot.
A little too hot. He's looking done, if you know what I'm talking about. Cooked.
Oh, I know I shouldn't be laughing. I'm going to get into how I felt about all of that later because it felt rude to have a hot take about Aegon being cooked into his armor, even though he is a terrible person, let's be real. But first things first, like, yes, Aemond has now been named regent. When they were parading Meleys's head through the streets and Aegon's dying self was being carried in that fucking wooden dog crate, Allison was standing up on the wall with Aemond and she like looked over at him and he's wearing Viserys's Valyrian steel dagger. Clearly took it from his brother. Aemond's like, it's audacity and also pomposity. His audacity and pomposity of like just how he's reacting to all of this. They're watching, Aemond and Allison are watching the Maesters like literally peel Aegon's armor off of him. His older brother is in bad fucking shape and Aemond's just like, someone's gonna have to rule in his stead. Like, yes, that's true, but maybe don't say that shit right here, right now. And then later, the Maester is saying in the council meeting, they don't know that Baby Gon, the king, Aemond's brother, they do not know if he will ever wake up. And Aemond is just fucking smirking about it. Full on smirking. I will say, like, when they're talking about how Aemond is technically the person who should be regent because he's like next in line for the throne, Allison nods at him and she's like, Aemond is young. And all I could think was, yeah, Aemond is young, as you nod at the practically middle-aged looking man who is your Hello, fellow Targaryens.
So,
I am absolutely younger than Baby God.
I am the youngest king ever.
Good.
Look, I have a hard time believing that Baby Gon is ever going to wake up, either from his burns or because of Aemond. I just have a hard time. Aemond is not giving up that seat, dude. He is not giving up that seat. There is no way he's going to give it up. The fact that he took his fucking... He might as well have stood over his burnt body singing the Chili's Baby Back Ribs song while he's sitting there looking at his brother. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just like...
I got some Baby Gon, Baby Gon, Baby Gon, Baby Gon.
Exactly. Aegon's baby back ribs.
Oh, would it be Aegon's or would it be Vhagar's or would it be Vhagar's? Aemond's Vhagar's baby back ribs. You got some baby gone, baby gone, baby gone. God damn it. Is it insensitive to put like a little baby gone head on a rack of chili back ribs? Oh my god, shit. Stop.
You know,
stop,
I want
stop.
You to know that, like, I have to vet my own jokes before I start saying it, you know, because I'm like, you know, I really need to think about this for a minute because it's really funny to me. But I'm like, hold on a second. Let me think about this one.
I think we've learned at this point that we're like pretty much on the same page with most humor. Yeah. So Eamon, to be fair, he takes control right away. Some of the things he is talking about make sense. One of the things he says is cut down the fucking rat catchers. My God, they're still hanging. Yes. Cut them down. I agree.
I 100% agreed with that.
Yeah. It was very reminiscent of Joffrey having Ned's head on the wall. Mm-hmm. Take that shit down. It does not need to be there anymore. It didn't really need to ever be there in the first place. But before we move on to the next hot take, I just want to make sure we mention that very brief scene where Eamon is standing directly in front of the Iron Throne, clearly coveting it as he always has. And Helaena walks in and he turns and she asks if it was worth it.
She knows.
Oh, fuck yeah, she does. Girl has been drawing prophecies on the walls of her chambers for, I don't know, maybe her entire life. Yeah. Oh, she knows.
She knows, yeah.
Dude. And Aegon wasn't the best husband to her, but also, and I know Eamon actually was a lot more kind to her and caring for her, but I don't know if she sees that in Eamon right now, consider.
I don't know. All I know is that, look, guys, if you're Team Green, just bow down to your king. He's here. Baby gone is gone for good. There's no way that that little shit is going to sit on that throne ever again. Aemon's is going to see to that one way or another. He wasn't sitting over his brothers, you know.
That sounds like a Maester Manny prophecy.
Oh, yeah, I guess it kind of does. He was not sitting at the foot of his brother's bed to say that he was going to be okay. He's waiting for him to die. He wants him to die. He knows that that throne is his. He's never giving it up. And he's going to be his own king. He'd probably be more like Aegon the Conqueror than this little kid is.
He's certainly done his due diligence in like studying and everything.
He's smart, yeah. But that's what I feel like, that's kind of what makes him dangerous.
Also, this is something that it's not part of any of our hot takes. We briefly mentioned it at the end of the summary, but he just shut the gates to King's Landing. He's not allowing anybody out, even though the city is being blockaded and there's like next to no food, particularly or mainly for the commoners, the small folk. Mm-hmm. These people want out. They want out because there's no fucking food for the most part. Yeah. And now you're going to lock them in there to starve?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Now he's just going to have rebellion. They're just going to revolt because they just want food, yo. That's it. They're not even trying to say, oh, we're not part of your king. No, they're just hungry.
Yeah, I understand why Eamon thought it was a good idea, because it was being told to him that like, oh, well, these people leaving, it's causing like general panic outside the city gates too, and more panic inside the city because so many people are leaving. The small folk are thinking like, well, Aegon, he can't take care of us, essentially. Mm-hmm. The king can't take care of us. So like, I understand where his quote unquote logic is in closing the gates, but I don't think it's going to bode well for him or for his brother's reign. More so than him, because like, even though when they shut the gates, they were like, by order of Aemon Targaryen, and the small folk were like, wait, by the king? Like, and also there you go with that Aegon Eamon thing. Like, your names are all too fucking close. Like, they didn't even know who you were talking about.
Exactly.
All right. Moving on to better things. Hot take number 4. It looks like Baela and Rhaena learned the art of the sick burns from their grandma, you guys. It was a very brief scene. And to be honest, it felt a little odd in this episode. But I think my conclusion on watching it twice is that it fits, because it shows the issues that Rhaenyra is having / is going to have with her so-called allies. But Rhaena being in the Eyrie with Lady Jane Arryn, and Lady Arryn is like, I was promised a dragon. I said I would send my men to fight for Queen Rhaenyra, but I needed protection in return, because the only way someone can conquer my castle, the Eyrie, is with a dragon, and the other side has dragons, so I need a dragon to protect me. Now, first of all, I don't know, Lady Arryn, are you worth a dragon? Like, I don't know. I fucking loved how Rhaena was just not having, and also especially Rhaena, because she has been very much a background character. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen she was kind of there. She existed in season 1 as a very background character. I mean, her and Baela both, really, but Baela has come to the forefront a lot in season 2, whereas Rhaena hasn't, you know, minus the couple scenes she had in episode 2. I just love how Rhaena is like not having any of Lady Arryn's attitude about the lack of a dragon. Rhaena tells her, well, yeah, she sent 2 dragons, and Lady Arryn's like, they're like barely out of the egg. They're still covered in yolk, bitch. And Raina's like, you didn't specify the size of the beast in your request. That sounds like a very Raina's snap to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was a very brief scene, but I am here for Raina kind of coming into her own a little bit. And I am here for her kind of using what sounds like knowledge she probably... She had to have heard Raina say things and react to things. She didn't learn this from nowhere, okay? So, loved it. And then Bayla's conversations, both with Jace and with Corliss, although she's a little bit more... Bayla was a little bit more... well, to be fair, with Bayla and Jace, it was more of like a tete-a-tete between the two of them. You're going back and forth. Bayla's saying like, well, your mom doesn't want you to leave. And he's saying, well, I'm going to go do this. And then in their chat, she doesn't say the thing, but she helps him realize that like going to the Freys would actually be a better thing than just like busting off to Harrenhal and like, I don't know, starting a fight or whatever the fuck he was trying to think about doing. So I think Bayla's really, I don't think she means to be playing a game. So I don't really like using that term, but she was in some of those council meetings with Raina's, and I think that she learned from Raina's and also Rhaenyra. Don't get me wrong. Like she surely learned from Rhaenyra too. She sort of nudges Jace in a better direction, possibly without even meaning to, but she does. But even more so, her conversation with Corliss. And listen, this was obviously less like sick burns and more just her being as kind as she could be while still being very firm with him. And like, he's a grandfather. But the way she approached the conversation, the things she said, the way she talked to Corliss, it was very reminiscent of Raina's in that scene. Yep. 10 out of 10 Targ eyebrows, guys. And I'm going to, I'll talk more about this later for sure. But I feel like both of them learned a lot from their grandmother, possibly more than they even know.
Yep. Agreed. Hot take number 5, or should we say Targ Wars, episode 5, The Riverland Strikes Back. They flew Rhaenyra's flag as they pillaged the Bracken countryside, pillaging septs, killing peasants, even running down women and children. God damn.
We saw a lot of this in Game of Thrones, or well, I can't remember how much of it they actually showed in the show, but in the books, Tywin Lannister sends out his mad dog, Gregor Clegane, to literally just rape and pillage the Riverlands. I mean, and he is fucking horrible. It's bad. It's real bad. And this is kind of, I guess, the predecessor to that, only in Song of Ice and Fire, in the 5-book series, and in the show, I think, too, they might make mention of it. Everybody knows that Gregor Clegane is Tywin's quote-unquote dog, but Gregor never flies the Lannister banner or the Baratheon banner. Everybody knows who he belongs to, but they don't blatantly say with a banner, we're working for the Lannisters and or the Baratheons. For the Blackhawks to just be doing this. Anyway, also, one of the men, I believe it's a piper in the conversation they're having with Daemon, says that the Blackwoods are using the war for the crown to commit these atrocities against their rivals, which seems true and super not cool, y'all. Mm-hmm. I will say that the longtime fan in me who has read about the Brackens in a mostly negative light, because that is the way they have always been written. And a lot of the stuff, even from the Dance of the Dragons, like this particular war, it was never like so blatant about the Blackwoods having done like these awful things, unless I'm totally misremembering something. And if I am and somebody's listening, please correct me on that. But I'm pretty sure it was never like this insanely blatant. So the longtime fan of me who has read about the Brackens in a mostly negative light is screaming House Bracken propaganda. But like at the same time, it's not if the Brackens actually did these things. And like clearly they did. The final say is we will not raise our banners for a tyrant.
Not a good look.
Well, and I think like what we should talk about is Sir Simon Strong has just kind of been dealing with Daemon all this time. We'll get into that next for sure. He wakes Daemon up. These people had the balls to come to Harrenhal, arrive in the middle of the night, demand to see Daemon immediately and be like, the Riverlands are one with the old gods and the new, and y'all fucked up. We're not going to follow you. That's a lot. I don't think the Tullys were there that I could see. I think it was more lesser lords. And I'm putting that in quotes because Piper was the only one whose name I think they put on screen. And I don't even know if they actually said the name. I think it was just in the captions. And I tried looking up who the rest of them were and I couldn't find it. But like the Brackens and the Blackwoods are both, you know, they're like slightly high-ish. They're below the Tullys, possibly below whoever is in Harrenhal at this point, the Strongs, and possibly below the Freys to an extent. But like, they're also both still very important old Riverlands houses. And these are people who aren't even necessarily, I don't know that you would say that these people who showed up are pro Bracken over Blackwood or pro Blackwood over Bracken. What they're pissed about is what is being allowed. And what appears to have happened by Daemon and therefore, in a way, Rhaenyra's orders. They're pissed.
You certainly don't want to be on a team, even though you're going to win, and then they're out committing atrocities, because then you're associated with that. And that's a terrible, terrible look. And then what happens is when the other side wins, they're going to have zero mercy on you because you're just a bunch of monsters. And just for the sake of just decency, I'm all about like, yeah, if we have to fight a war or to like do something like that. But when you start committing atrocities against the innocent, it's like, bro, no. You know, wrong.
Which, let's be real, is like every war ever. But in this case, it goes deeper than that, because there's the other part about it is like, these are just people who happen to live on lands that are like technically part of the Bracken lands. That doesn't even mean that they necessarily support the Brackens. And the destruction of the septs, the churches, big no-no.
Yeah, it's clear just because since they've had like a rivalry for however many years and how long it's going, that they're just looking to just completely decimate these people. However you want to look at it, they just want to just completely fucking ruin them. And that's fucked up. I probably would have put that on the table beforehand when they joined. I said, hey, I need you to do me a favor. Don't commit war atrocities when you're out.
Maybe don't do this thing. And this is just one thing. Probably the biggest thing, let's be real, in the end. But this is just one thing that contributes to hot take number six. Daemon's downfall. Okay, I got to go back to first. He was having sex dreams about Viserys's wife, Emma. Wow.
That took a minute when I saw it. It took a minute for my brain to understand what was going on there. I was like, wait, whoa, what? Holy shit. I was like, what the fuck?
For me, it was like, at first I was like, who is that? Oh, it's Emma, isn't it? And then she said something like, you were always my favorite son. And I was like, oh my God, is this some weird Oedipal shit? And that's actually his mom.
Yeah.
There was that moment where I was like, whoa.
That's what I thought too. I was like, oh my God, fucking Daemon, what are you doing? Just jump off the building already. Like, you're done. You know, like, what is going on?
The other thing I wanted to talk about was Daemon, I have to take a breath here, honestly, because I'm kind of disgusted with everything he has been doing. There was that moment where he's sitting on the Windy Boy and the Bracken Lord is riding away. The Bracken Lord says, burn us then, or something, you know, paraphrasing. And I thought it would happen and it didn't. And it's because Daemon was like, you know, listen, they would rather burn than succumb. Those are the kind of men I need. This is my first like, oh my God, this is House Bracken propaganda right now. Then Daemon goes on to like, oh, like, hey, Willem, why don't you do some things for us? But also, these are things the crown must not be seen to do. My thought when he said this was, oh my God, Daemon, what are you suggesting now? Because you're not giving clear instructions, and these things have not gone well for you in the very recent past.
Very recent, you know?
And then right after he has that dream, which again, Daemon comes to in the hall and is eating dinner, then has this whole back and forth with Simon Strong, where now apparently your grace isn't enough and it has to be my king. And I'm just like, oh my God, Daemon, my dude, stop.
He doesn't know when to stop. Daemon, like, I don't even know what to think or what to do with that guy now. By the time season one was done, I was like, nah, Daemon, hands down, fantastic. Now my boy's just straight up derailed, man. He is derailed. He's doing all kinds of weird stuff. He's having the weird dreams of roaming around the wet castle, playing Luigi's Mansion and chasing ghosts and all this kind of stuff. And now you're dreaming about your brother's wife. And like the not clear instructions, come on. We know what he's doing there. He didn't like forget to not give full instructions. He was just, hey, I want you to go over there and just raise the banner. And, you know, stuff happens all the time. I need you to go over there and kill Aemond. If there happens to be a baby and there happens to be related to him. Yeah, sure. Like, whatever. But no, kill Aemond, though. Only Aemond, though. You know, only Aemond. Remember, no babies, you know.
All I said was a son for a son, guys. Like, I didn't know you'd take it that far. Hair flip.
It's not my fault. I didn't tell them to kill a baby.
When Alice, first of all, he's chopping wood like a bro.
Yeah. He's doing his part.
You know? Also, though, when this is jumping forward a little bit from his conversation with Alice, but when Simon Strong comes and tells him, oh, yeah, the Brackens have been subdued or whatever. And David walks away from Alice, but turns it around and he like points the axe at her in the most like fucking dude bro way. I was like, what?
Yeah,
dude. I mean, to be honest, I don't like this.
No,
this is a little bit like, it's just like overdoing it, overacting. Like, I don't, it was too much. That moment was too much, but
it was out of place for sure.
But anyway, Alice makes this sort of, in my opinion, sarcastic comment. Like, I'm sure your tactics are approved by the queen, because like, of course they're not. And Alice knows this, and Daemon fucking knows that they aren't. But then like, he straight up admits to Alice Rivers that if they take the throne, he plans to be the ruler, the real ruler, and simply have Rhaenyra by his side. Listen, like, I've read things, so I'm not surprised, but I also, it's just, oh.
They're just doing this thing, yeah. I was on Daemon's side, and now I'm just like, that's cool. You're just another person that I can't wait to see die now.
Oh my God, he's being the worst. Like, he's being the worst. And then, again, Daemon had told Willem Blackwood the crown can't be seen doing these things. That was a clear instruction, but apparently the Blackwoods did not listen, because, yo, flying the banner is the crown doing those things. Rhaenyra is the queen. You know, Daemon can stomp around Harrenhal being like, call me your grace. Wait, no, call me my king or whatever. He can do that all the fuck he wants, but Rhaenyra is the one people are supposed to be fighting for or against. So anyway, Blackwoods, fuck off. And when the Riverland people come in and tell him off, rightfully so, the look on Daemon's face when he hears they were flying that banner is like, oh, you done fucked up and you know it. Before that scene, it didn't seem obvious to me, at least, that he was hearing those like eerie sounds. What were very clearly supposed to be like women and children crying. And Alice is like, oh, I hear them. This is how I know what's happening. Alice, who's like not witchy, but a woods witch, according to the people who create this show, still not sure what's up with that. But before this scene with the Riverlanders that come in and tell him off, it did not seem obvious to me that he was also hearing those sounds, but it sure as hell seemed like he was when they told him off. And then I was like, oh, wait, so maybe that means he also was hearing them before. I think it's neither here nor there, other than just another notch in his downfall bedpost over here. And Rhaenyra has sent, I kind of feel bad for Sir Alfred, as rude as he was to Rhaenyra at times. Like, he was raised with these prejudices and is having trouble overcoming them to like follow a queen, but he is still loyal to Rhaenyra. He's trying to unlearn his prejudices, I think. And Rhaenyra has now sent him out here, and I just do not feel like this is going to go well for anybody.
Nope. Sometimes I feel, when I watch, is Daemon being poisoned or something? Is that why he's getting so fucked up? Simon's sitting there all like coy, like, oh, look at me. And like, just like fucking giving him LSD every night.
I think Simon Strong is a little bit snarky and a little bit like possibly pro Rhaenyra, and therefore a little bit anti-Daemon because of the way Daemon's been acting and the things he's been insisting upon. Because when Sir Simon sees Daemon sitting with Alice, he's got one eyebrow like real raised. I can't do that, but I haven't done Botox yet, but I'm like Patrick, like I'm trying to raise one eyebrow and unable to do it because I've never been able to do that. But yeah, no, I don't think that Simon Strong is having any part in poisoning Damon. And here's the thing. I don't think Damon is being poisoned necessarily. I think that Alice is, she's not giving him things that will poison him, I don't think. But if they are straight up hallucinogens, that's still, it's still like an unconsensual drugging. So there's that. But Harrenhal is, it's got some shit behind it, you know? And this is something I mentioned last week and something that I think I'm, unless they really fuck it up somehow, I'm going to continue to love, is that the things that Damon is seeing and dreaming and experiencing and going through, I hope it's not just Alice Rivers giving him hallucinogens, because it feels very Song of Ice and Fire that Harrenhal is in fact haunted in such a way that it is affecting Damon's like reality, essentially. But at the same time, this is, Damon's always been this way. To me, there's no question that Damon has always been this way, and this place is just bringing out the worst in him. And to be honest, I don't know if you've ever been, I don't know, in a relationship or in a place that has just brought out the worst in you.
Oh yeah.
I hate blaming it on like other people all the time, but I've been in both situations. I've been in a relationship that brought out the worst in me, and I've been in places that brought out the worst in me.
Yep.
They weren't, you know, haunted and magical or whatever, but I think there is some real life connotations that you can recognize here. One thing I do want to say is that in Fire and Blood, the Riverlands pretty much side with Rhaenyra from the beginning, and there's not really ever like a conflict at Harrenhal that Damon has to deal with. Some of this is like the River Lords are always arguing with each other over one thing or another. The Brackens and the Blackwoods, the Tullys and the Freys also hate each other, as we saw a little bit of in this episode. But when it comes to the text, generally they take sides and like rally together. Not the Brackens and the Blackwoods, but there's a lot of this that's happening, particularly the stuff that happened in this episode where the Riverlands leaders busted and were like, we're not following a tyrant. I think that's new, if I'm not mistaken. That's going to be interesting in terms of like conflict with Damon and Rhaenyra, possibly, for sure. Obviously, with the war as a whole, that these people have stepped forward and said like, well, now we're not going to back, we're not following a tyrant. And they mean Damon, but that also means that they're probably anti-Rhaenyra in my mind, which sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, fuck you, Damon. Why do you suck so bad right now? Like, like he's always sucked, but now you're like, you're literally fucking this up, not just for Rhaenyra, but for yourself as well. If you think you're going to walk in and take fucking the Iron Throne and rule and have her by, oh my God, idiot.
Dude, yeah, it's not even that it's like pushing me towards anything else or like Team Green or anything like that, but it's everything he's doing in this season, man, is just like, what the fuck, dude?
Well,
like,
and just, here's the thing, it's not pushing us toward Team Green because he's not doing it with Rhaenyra's blessing. He fucking ran off on his own and is acting like he is the ruler. You know, going from, well, calling me King Consort, because Simon Strong even says that. He's like, well, what do you call the person who sits by the side of the queen? And Simon Strong is like, King Consort. And Damon's like, I don't think we need that word, that qualification.
Yeah. Let's just shorten King Consort. Let's see. Let's shorten it. Let's just say King. It's just short. Let's just do that.
Short, succinct, to the point. We got it.
Yeah, it's right to the point.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's move on to one slightly more positive thing with our last hot take.
Hot take number 7. Team Black is about to hit the books to look for possible new dragon riders, that is. So let's go. LeVar Burton walks in and he's like, take a look. It's in a book. The dragon riders.
Oh, my God. That was one of the best things you've ever done on this show.
That was what I thought of when they're like, wait a minute, like, we're going to figure this out with books.
I'm the one that usually inserts unnecessary song lyrics into these episodes.
Yeah.
That was not unnecessary at all. That was perfect. Snaps for Mr. Manny over here.
And that literally came up when we were right at the end of Hot Take 6. I read this and then all of a sudden it was like, boom, you know what? It did kind of make me think of, because I thought of Reading Rainbow when I saw them like look at this. It's like, oh, it's cool. It's like Reading Rainbow. But that didn't come to me until right now.
This was a great suggestion from Jace. It was kind of about time that they finally fucking brought this up, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, we are finally getting around to the whole gotta find more people with Targ blood to ride these dragons that we have lazing around the place. They're just like catting it up. They need to have a job. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to like spoil anything about what happens with this whole situation. But yes, they are finally fucking doing it, you guys. They are finally looking for dragon riders for Vermithor and Silverwing. Wait, is it Vermithor and Silverwing that he said? Okay, yeah, no, he did. He said Vermithor and Silverwing, but there's also another one that they didn't mention. I'm 95% sure he said Vermithor and Silverwing. Jace did, who are just chilling under Dragonstone, like chilling in the basement, you know, laying all over the couches, eating some cows and sheep, whatever. But Laenor's dragon Seasmoke should also be out and about because Laenor led to Essos and is gone forever. As far as we know in the book, he straight up died, but we know, thankfully they did not bury that gay. He escaped with his lover and gets to go live his life free of this nonsense and bullshit. Hopefully, God, I hope he doesn't come back.
Yeah, what a good life he must be having. He's gonna like show up. It's gonna be like, I don't know if you ever seen that watch that show Community, you know, when they Troy shows up and everything's on fire and he's just sitting there with the pizza, like looking around, like that's gonna be the scene when he shows up if he does show up.
God, I hope he doesn't. I hope he just lives his life the rest of his life. But yeah, so either way, they have at least two fully grown dragons that they need to find or can hopefully find riders for. So I just loved that it was Jace who was like, hey, by the way, we have two more dragons. And Rhaenyra was like, yeah, but we don't have riders. And Jace is like, but what about all these other people who have Targaryen blood who have married into other families? Like, they haven't ruled, but
so smart.
Yeah.
So
and Rhaenyra is like, well, but do they have enough blood? And Jace is like, guess we'll find out.
They'll either be riders or snacks. One of the two.
Okay, I think it's time for our favorites roundup. Bela's conversation with Corlys. I loved every moment of it. I wanted to make it its own hot take, but then I was like, Rhaena also had a great moment, so I can't leave her out of this entirely. And it wasn't just Bela with Corlys, though. It was Bela's scene with Rhaenyra and Bela's scene with Jace. She was just, maybe she as a whole should have been her own hot take in this episode, but we had a lot of things to cover, and she was perfect and amazing, and it makes me concerned about her future considering what happened with Rhaenys. She goes to her grandfather and is like, hey, Rhaenyra wants you to be Hand of the King, and Corlys is like, fuck no. And she's like, maybe think about it. Here's some reasons why you should think about it. The maturity and the how well spoken she, oh my god, I just, 10 out of 10 Targ eyebrows are everything Bela did in this episode. 10 out of 10. She's mourning her grandmother and it's still 10 out of fucking 10 for how amazing she's being with everybody else.
But these past episodes, man, that they just keep doing stuff with her and she's just amazing and like building her up now, you know, which is fantastic. You know, I'm like, yes, finally.
And also makes us worried. Also, I just have to say, lol, phrase being phrase.
Oh God, yes. Doing their phrase shit.
What was this weird? What were they sitting at? Was this was a table? All of them were like, the table is like shoulder high or whatever the fuck they were sitting at, like in the middle of their stupid bridge, their stupid fucking bridge. I hate the phrase and I hate their stupid bridge and they ruin everything.
I feel like the writers hate the phrase also, and that's why they gave them that table.
They should, they said, because let's give George them the table hates the phrase.
Yeah, like, let's fucking make them look like small little insignificant people. Let's do that.
I mean, and they are small people. Like the only, they're like, oh, well, Vhagar. And Jace is like, oh, you fear a dragon that's like a billion miles away, but mine is literally right there.
Right there.
And
I can just burn you guys now, you know?
Also, like, he totally, I don't think he really had the right to promise those phrase Harrenhal.
No.
But
I don't care that he did. And Rhaenyra was like, whatever. Yeah, they can have it.
Why does everyone want this shithole of Harrenhal? Like, they all know about the supposed curse. And they also have to know that it's in shit shape to boot. It's like taking on a house that buying a flipped house that you know it was flipped. And so, you know, they did a shoddy job on it. Like, they bought a house for $100,000 and they put $20,000 worth of work into it. And you bought it for $200,000 and you're going to end up fucking in the hole. And guess how I know about this? Because it happened to me. The inspector didn't catch anything because it was all perfectly hidden. And 3 years after we moved in, the whole fucking roof caved in.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was fucked up. Yeah. Why does everybody want this? And also, though, honestly, Freys, you can have it. I wish they would get it because then they could also be cursed and go away. But unfortunately, we know that whatever happens with them in the Harrenhal situation does not curse them entirely because they come back to fuck Rob in Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire. And thankfully, they get their due in the end. Oh, my God. Anyway, fucking Freys, man.
I thought about Harrenhal and I was trying to figure out a way to make a meme and I couldn't do it. But it's that meme with like Joe Pesci. And I wanted to make the background like Harrenhal where he's just like, what the fuck is this piece of shit? You know, because that's what I think of when I see a fucking Harrenhal. Why is everyone so invested in this? Why do people want this thing? You know,
so like, I mean, to be fair, the literal answer is that the castle itself is shit. But the lands that belong to whoever owns that castle are some of the richest lands in the Riverlands. Mm. So they aren't the Lords Paramount. They aren't the head of the Riverlands, but they should technically be the richest lords in the Riverlands. The problem is that like literally has never happened because the castle is a ruinous piece of shit that takes like a fuck ton of money to upkeep. And also the curse keeps happening.
I would just turn it into like a museum and just move out.
That's the thing. Why populate that castle? If you are the Lords of Harrenhal, you could just like leave that castle to rot and build one next door. Build your McMansion next door.
Exactly.
That's not been literally cursed. So
exactly.
Nobody does that though. They all fucking want Harrenhal. Anyway. Your favorites.
The end with Jace talking to Rhaenyra about finding dragon riders. I felt like that was the first time in the show where I kind of felt like it was kind of something new almost, where I was like, oh shit, I never thought that we would be sitting down to do research and to be like, wait a minute, let's find the other, all the kin who can possibly ride these dragons. I was like, fuck, I would never have thought about that. I would have just kept the other two dragons down there while the other ones were getting killed and then we'll just see what happens. They actually did pretty good with that. I really liked that. The next thing that I liked was Alicent no longer matters, and she knows it. She has now become an extra in the story, when back then she was so important, at least to somebody or something, or she had some kind of sway, and now she's a nobody now. Honestly, I feel like she doesn't want war, man. She's going to turn to Rhaenyra at some point. She clearly doesn't want to watch the world fucking burn, and now no one has her side there, so she truly is isolated now. Where is she going to go? Time to come home to mama. Time to come home to the queen. Next thing I liked. Damon fucking playing Luigi's Mansion in fucking Harrenhal with his what the fuck dreams. And like, exactly. But I do like it because I love the actual tone of it. You know, when he's dreaming, you know, it's weird. There's something symbolic about it. So I will say, as weird as it is, I definitely like it. And also the last thing that I really liked was the crowd's reaction to them parading around Maelys through the town. And there's one person in the background who yells it and you can hear Rhaenyra will answer this. And I was like, fuck yes. Yeah, she is. Yeah, she fucking is. And I liked that because there's people within their walls that are like, they can see Rhaenyra is the queen. She will answer this. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, she's going to. She's going to.
So one thing we didn't talk about, this is not a favorites thing. I could not, as I actually already mentioned earlier, I could not make this a hot take, but whoa, Aegon. Oh, baby gone. Baby gone. Actually, it's not even baby gone anymore. It's baby gone. That's how we have to say it. Baby gone. Oh my God. That scene where he was cooked into his armor and they were as I said in the summary, those captions were going real wild with words like squelching. I couldn't look. I was like, no, like hearing it is bad enough. And I'm already like, oh, I'm like nauseous.
because I have like other health issues going on that are making me nauseous. I'm not pregnant. That's not what it is. Just say.
But, it would have made you hungry if you were pregnant.
I want those baby gum, baby gum, baby gum, baby gum.
Barbecue sauce, you know?
You've been so fucking on point in this episode. I cannot even.
I know. Oh, I don't know what happened.
I mean, you're always amazing, but like on fucking point in this episode. My God, Manny, Manny gets 10 out of 10 Targaryen eyebrows for everything that is happening. Everything that comes out of your mouth is pure 10 out of 10 Targaryen eyebrows, gold or it's platinum. Platinum.
Mr. Manny's musical episode, you know.
Oh my God. But all of that said, whoa. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, did you see the bone thing? Was that his knee? Mm,
yep.
I happened to look up right before it happened. It was like crack, yeah. And I was like, no.
Look, I have to admit, I was a little disappointed with the scene because I was like, guys, I thought we were past this. We don't have to show this. You could have showed one piece of armor sticking to skin and taking it off and then had a shot of them taking it off without all that stuff.
I actually disagree. While I absolutely was disgusted by it, hated listening to it and or very, very slightly sort of maybe watching it because I was turned away for most of the time, honestly, I disagree. I think they needed to show that. I would not normally feel that way because I am not the type of person that wants to see like that gross out shit. But I think that it was, well, and maybe this might be like the book reader in me. I think it was important that they showed that. Maybe not the knee or the bone. Ugh, just thinking about it now. Okay. Anyway, but the rest of it, yeah, I think they really did need to show that. And one thing, I guess we probably should have mentioned this earlier when we were talking about like how nobody likes Allison and she like doesn't even like herself. And she is with Aegon for a little bit like later in the episode and she kind of like caresses him or something like that. And then she leaves and as she's walking out the door, there's no way she could possibly hear him. She's like already at the end of the room walking out the door and he says, "Mommy." And it's like, oh my God, Aegon is a terrible person. And I don't want to feel bad for him. But in that moment, I'm one of those people where if anybody around me bugs me when I'm sick, I'm like, leave me the fuck alone, except for my mom. When I'm sick, I want my mom.
I'm the same way.
Like, no matter how adult I am, no matter how grown up I am, my significant others try to take care of me. In the past, even roommates have tried to help me out. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I would rather you leave me alone. And I think some of that is like a prideful thing, maybe. I don't want anybody seeing me sick. My mom seeing me sick, that's a different thing. Like, mom, come take care of me. So just saying, the whole scene with them, like, just removing him from his armor, it was gross and bad and gross. But I do think actually it was necessary to show the state that he was in.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like the bone part.
I have a feeling I know why they did that. But yeah, that did seem pretty extra. All right, any last thoughts?
No, I'll give this episode a 9 out of 10 Targaryen bros. I thought it was a good solid episode. I thought it was very very diverse with the story it was trying to tell. It wasn't just sticking to like one kind of single line, you know. It was talking about a lot of different things, and now we can see kind of where things are going, and I thought it was really cool. So I'm going to give this one 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm solidly with you on 9 out of 10 Targ eyebrows. I was a little bit worried that this episode would be kind of like a throwaway.
Yeah.
But I think that even the things that what I said earlier, like, oh, at first I was like, should they have really included that Rhaena scene with Lady Erin? Mm-hmm. But no, it matched with the tone that they were trying to press with this episode, that being that Rhaenyra is losing allies left and right or having trouble keeping them because she's not, in that case, it was like not fulfilling her obligations. But the whole point was we should have seen maybe Rhaenyra gain some allies, but instead, in a way she did, the phrase, apparently.
Yeah.
Ugh, worst allies ever. But they're letting the Starks cross their bridge, apparently. So yeah, I'll give the phrase 3 out of 10 Targ eyebrows for letting the Starks cross their bridge, assuming that actually comes to pass, because BTWs, we did not see it in this episode.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm okay with that being in there is because I know what happens to them all that time later.
Okay, well, as we close out the episode, just want to give a shout out to our heroes tier patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for Hot D Takes. Manny and I will, of course, be back next week to cover season 2, episode 6,
For the most current news and updates about the series, make sure to follow at A Geek Saga on Facebook, Instagram, and or Threads, TikTok, Twitter. But also, please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Geek Saga podcast. If you like what you heard, please check out other Geek Saga entertainment endeavors, including the Sagas and Sass webcast and podcast, and Ice and Fire Con.